My Dear Fiona by Frances Rosenfeld. Chapter 15, Betty the White Lady. Upon returning from Bearcy the following morning, I found Denise sleeping across the doorway. "You forgot to leave a key," she looked at me cross, but relieved I returned before it started raining. "The landlady could have let you in. Why didn't you ask her?" "She's out of town. How was your trip?" "Uneventful," I didn't elaborate. How was I to tell her that, cliché as it sounds, my journey to Bearcy had been more interesting than arriving at the destination? Once there, I couldn't think of things to do, walked around for a couple of hours and headed back. "How was your day? Did you have fun with your friends?" "And then some. Do you know people think your Fiona called out to you so you can find her bones and lay her to rest? They think you are a white lady who walks between worlds. Neil said that if you go to the Maesho Cairn during solstice, she'll talk to you then." I didn't mention seeing Fiona when I visited Maesho, not to my sister, not to anyone else, except the young man, the tour guide who dragged me out of there before I made a total fool of myself. Nobody paid enough attention to notice anything unusual.
"Who's Neil?"
"One of my friends.
He's in the play."
"Whatever gave him this silly idea?"
"Oh, the idea is not his, sister. Everybody in town thinks so."
The whole town took an interest in little old me.
"You're new.
People are curious. I've been here for months, begging for any detail, however insignificant, that would point me to Fiona's whereabouts with no luck. You've been here 2 days, and the whole town is volunteering information I'm sure you didn't even ask for."
"What can I say?"
She smiled, pleased. "We all have our talents. People like to open up to me. You, on the other hand, talk to ghosts."
"You mean the woman in Stromness? Who told you about her?"
"Neil's cousin's friend is running the cafe where you two had lunch. She saw you together. Dear Maggie Patterson is no ghost. She comes to Orkney every year for the festival." "No, they meant the host of St. Magnus."
"The elderly gentleman?"
"Yep. Apparently, he's been dead for over a century and really enjoys conversations with people who can see him."
"Wait a minute. You talked to him too?"
"I did. Isn't that great?" Denise jumped, excited.
"So, why aren't people wary of you?"
"Because I'm likable," Denise smiled with all her teeth.
"Denise, after all these years, don't you think I can tell when you're pulling my leg?"
"Suit yourself, sister, but I've never been more serious in my life. Apparently, Mr. Sinclair, a very pious man, has been there since Dr. John Ray discovered the last link of the Northwest Passage. Neil says Mr. Sinclair gave you hints about where you can find the bones, but you didn't listen."
"What bones? How could you possibly know this?"
"What, you think you're the only intuitive in the family? I have skills."
"You mocked me my whole life for being weird. Now you're Miss Second Sight?
Since when?"
"Try as you might, you will not bring me down. In fact, I'm thinking maybe go to St. Magnus today, see what I can find out."
"You are not going without me. I was there first
and found out nothing."
"Do you want me to tell Dad you're not helping me with my research?"
"That was low, Ethel.
What was it about my sister that undid 20 years of education and social polish and drove me to behave like we were still in middle school, fighting over the Nintendo and kicking each other under the dinner table?"
"Don't think I won't."
"Fine, you can come with. But let me do the talking," Denise pouted, looking at me cross, "if you actually want to learn anything." She remembered something and turned towards me.
"See, if you came with me yesterday instead of driving through the wilderness alone, you could have found out all of this for yourself. Open up a little, socialize, people like people who like people."
"How do you explain to a social butterfly like Denise that altering a fundamental psychological characteristic like introversion is not something one could do on demand?"
"So, the hippie lady, Maggie Patterson, she's still here?"
"I think so." Denise stared at me. "I could ask around, what's with you and this lady?"
I remembered the conversation I had with Maggie at the coffee shop. I had been so convinced she wasn't a person, just a figment of my overheated imagination, that now, knowing she was a real woman with a name, I felt exposed and awkward about sharing my deep and highly unusual experiences with a stranger. The conversation we had about me traveling between worlds, the things I shared with her, the feelings which didn't have words to express them about what I found beyond made me feel so embarrassed now, like one gets when one is pranked on candid camera. I felt embarrassed even more because I knew those feelings were true, those experiences real, not things to be bounced about for giggles at the local watering spot. You can't share experiences hard to believe with people who didn't have their own. All you get back is mockery and disdain. Suddenly, I dropped out of hyperspace into the lesser reality below. This is how it happens, I realized, this discombobulated feeling of almost, but not quite, that accompanied everything, all the surreal little experiences that turn out to have banal explanations even a child would understand. Their cumulative effect still adds up to making life feel insubstantial and disjointed in ways you can't anticipate or follow, like a dream you know it's a dream but you can't wake up from, where the dream characters insist you're defective and there's nothing strange about the world, while the scenery changes right in front of your eyes, in the middle of the conversation. Reality is playing chicken with you, pressing the brakes on the edge of the precipice so many times you become numb. The only thing you get used to in this bizarre environment is not deeming anything impossible anymore. And it all looks so damn normal, most of the time. Earth to Betty, you still with us? Huh? I said, get ready, we're going to the cathedral to find the bones. Speaking of surreal, on what planet does one go to church to dig up bones? In Betty Land, that's where. Or Denise Land, I wasn't sure which. Denise, if you get me in trouble with the parishioners, I'll never forgive you. Oh, grow up. You're 30 years old and still need permission to go to the bathroom. Here, I allow you. Now get dressed. I need lunch first. You have nothing to eat around here? The landlady doesn't like food in the room. It attracts mice. Yeah, and that pile of papers all over the place doesn't. I can't believe I am saying this to you, sister, but your room is a mess. Have you considered temporary shelving or something? I instantly clenched at the thought of my baby sister, the wielder of chaos, lecturing me about orderliness. If there was one instance of order in the universe, Denise was sure to find it and mess it up. She saw I was about to burst and retreated, with a charming smile and a sparkle in her eyes. Pretty please, Louise? She rubbed her tummy with a comical expression. I'm starving. Did I mention the corner cafe has the best latte? Maybe your hippie friend will be there. She loves coffee, I heard. Denise, shut up before I change my mind. Yes, sister. By the way, Mom called. She wanted to know how we're doing, and since you can't be counted on for details, she resorted to the blabbermouth, that would be me, to extract the information so hard to come by. Dad wants to know how you're, well, our research is going. So I told Mom we're making rapid progress. Sent them pictures of your workbench too. That seemed to allay Dad's concerns. I'm only here to have fun. You are only here to have fun. If you were here to help me organize my research, that workbench would be clean. Don't you worry about it. It's not important. What's important is lunch. Soup, with warm bread and butter, and coffee. We can strategize while we eat. Soup sounded enticing. Lead the way, Denise. You're not going to get dressed? What's wrong with what I'm wearing? Nothing, it's just. What if you bump into someone you like? You never know. Denise, if you start this nonsense again, so help me. Just dab on some lipstick, no big deal. Denise. Fine, but if someone comes to chat me up, I'll pretend I don't know you. Who says there is no predictability in this world? It doesn't matter if you live in a bustling city and boast an active social agenda, or act like a social reject and retreat into the past to find peace away from civilization, reality will come get you wherever you are. It's an equal opportunity for bursting your bubble.